Today on our Tech for Business podcast, it is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and we're going to dive into the lovely buzzword of deepfakes. So we're joined by Todd, our COO and CISO, and Nate, our Director of Cybersecurity. I think our listeners know what deepfakes are, but I guess we could give them the elevator pitch and maybe just some examples of where they might see it or where you have seen it.
I can open up this time. So yeah, deepfakes are when you use artificial intelligence to impersonate someone, right? This goes back quite some time. I remember seeing a video from Adobe when they were first introducing some of their voice cloning technology, right? Just, at the time, it was mind-blowing because they would kind of record the audio from the presenter, and then they changed the words. They were able to type it out and have it speak back. And I think on stage, they changed it to basically say that the speaker kissed someone other than his wife or something, and everyone's mind was blown that how dare he say something along those lines, right? That was like 10 years ago. I don't have the day we can find that. But the tech has greatly evolved, right? You know, by this point, I think everyone knows AI is here. It's revolutionizing kind of how we work, how we think, that type of stuff. Where the deepfakes have gone really good now is video. So in the past, audio was easy. You know, you don't need to do much to impersonate a voice. There's even free services on this. And I've done training sessions on Grandpa. If you ever receive a call from me sounding like I'm in jail, let me run. Don't pay the demand, right? But with the video is where now it's starting to blur the line of what's reality and what's not. So if you spend any time on the internet, like let's say Reddit or YouTube or Facebook, disinformation is running rampant with the fakes. Where we start to see this also become dangerous is that there's also been articles out there that will say North Korea is using deepfake technology to gain jobs at U.S. tech companies to then further, you know, basically what they're doing is they're taking this technology, or sorry, they're using deepfakes, gain jobs, receive a salary, which then is going back to the North Korean weapons program. And that's essentially how they're now siphoning money from the U.S. to fund their activities.
Yeah. Todd, is this something that the average business owner should be concerned about? Or is this kind of like an enterprise business issue?
Well, I would say I'm sure there's all kinds of examples. I was kind of trying to figure out what to add into it. And I bear with me as my train of thought goes running rampant on me. And I was kind of going, what's the difference between a deep fake and AI slop? But to answer the other question is, I mean, there's so much stuff that's AI driven. And it's mildly interesting to me as I scroll through social media or whatever the case may be. And there's currently enough obvious stuff where I'm like, well, that's obviously AI. I don't think that's going to last much more than a year, and then it's going to be incredibly difficult to see it. So I think the threat is real, and I do think every business owner needs to be aware of it. Now, whether it's as relatively generic as something as we're just trying to pull some revenue from an organization to help funnel our desires, maybe one thing, but it could be something much more heinous than that too, right? I mean, in theory, if you're hiring an IT individual remotely, and that person now gets credentials to your network, your host, but it could be anything else too. I mean, we had a retirement party at the office this morning, and somebody had mentioned they were buying a bunch of gift cards with their reward points. And someone was like, well, great. When the CEO asks for you to get a whole bunch of gift cards for them, you're all set. I keep going down this path because, you know, what happens when it's a video of your CEO saying, hey, I need you to help me out, Nate, can you get me some gift cards? Those kinds of things are completely possible, right? It's your voice, it's your face, it's everything. It's the mannerisms. So yeah, I think the threat is real. It is something that everybody faces. You know, I've done speaking engagements in the past, and Nate kind of mentioned the one with his grandfather. Is there is a generation of people in the United States and probably everywhere where they are pretty unsure of what's going on from a technology aspect. And something like this can be used to siphon millions of dollars away from a certain demographic of our nation. So not just business-wise, I think it impacts everybody.
I know this is getting a little bit deeper into it, so we can come back to your question as well. But I do want to call out, it's not all nefarious either. There are legitimate business cases where deepfakes might be useful. Joking aside, let's say, you know, Ariel already has a lot of content of me talking and speaking, right? We've rehashed certain ideas, so there's multiple ways that I've said things. This would be a great time to fire me and just say, I'm going to now have an AI deepfake Nate for the podcast and save money, right? So I say that because we are starting to see a lot of marketing campaigns switch to using AI generated video. Maybe it's not a deep fake necessarily, but AI video, again, has become really good at this point. So there are still some telltale signs that maybe we can talk about of how do I identify this stuff in multiple avenues. But when it comes to legitimate business cases, is now you're seeing advertising agencies save significant amounts of money because they don't need to go to a casting director, hire the actors, develop the script, anything like that. They just have to say, put in a good-looking individual that looks like this in this type of scenery and says these things, and they might get a really nice video with only a couple hours of work, and it still provides the same type of impact to its consumers.
No, you've got other things, but I can't help it. I don't want to get into specifics because I don't want to raise any alarms and I don't want anybody to get upset. But I've seen videos, and Nate kind of mentioned this, so I'm tipping my hand slightly a little bit, but there's a video of a very prominent political figure in the United States where it's pretty obvious there's been posts where they're doing, whether you want to call it the AI avatar or other, it looks like them specifically. But if you watch the video, you can see certain things where they do hand gestures. And in case you're not on video, I'm doing hand gestures. And two of the fingers on one of his hands, so now I know it's a he, blends into one. So those are the kinds of things that are going on there. But if you weren't really looking for it, you probably wouldn't have even noticed. But it's happening. So it's happening today. There is real stuff that's out there that avatar, it's just quick, it's easy, it's getting the right message across in the same manner that you wanted to. So it does exist. I actually saw an article, and I did not dig into it this morning, but I saw that there is an AI actress, kind of to Nate's point, that's drawing a lot of interest from Hollywood. And I was like, well, how does an AI actress draw interest from a studio? Anyways, if you're curious, the name is Tilly Norwood, I believe. This is an AI actress, and to Nate's point, is it's pretty quick that you can start to use this type of technology to do all kinds of stuff, new movies, new whatever, and it can be a totally generic individual.
That's interesting. I'll have to look that up, because just like who has ownership over that, you know, there's like probably a marketing or an artist person on the side. It's such an interesting concept. I'd love to dive into sort of spotting these things and what you're looking for. Todd kind of transitioned us in that direction. So when you're dealing with, you know, interviews or phone calls or things like that, what are really those big things, big red flags?
Yeah. So this is becoming a challenge because AI is getting better. So yep. I'll talk about it as in, you know, within the last 6 months or so, is... Mm-hmm. People are predictable, but they also differ, right, from time to time. So I have a common cadence to my tone and how I communicate. But every once in a while, I will change things up, right, on the fly without having to have any rhyme or reason of why I do so. Now, the AI is going to kind of common patterns and try and stitch that together. And you can tune it to, you know, maybe sound a little bit different. Sometimes it will struggle with certain intonations. Maybe, you know, it always gives it a hard T or a hard S, and it might sound a little bit jarring. Other times, it'll often put the same spacing in between each words. And so the computer is basically taking a word, plopping it down, taking the next word, plopping it down, and it's reading it like a book, right? There's always one space. What we know is that people will sometimes put longer pauses like that. And so that's where people become a little unpredictable. So if you can follow something that sounds like a very common cadence or, you know, standard, you know, repeatable cadence, it could be a telltale sign. One of the other traits of audio is if you are interacting with a deep fake, it has to do with processing on the back end to be able to respond back. And so if I were to go ask you a question and you pause for one, two, and then respond, then at that point, it could be a deep fake. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. The one thing I do want to be careful, because, you know, I was just doing some interviews, you know, over the past week, is while you're trying to identify potential deep fakes, which again aren't going to be that common, do not inherently discredit someone else's, you know, standard cadence or thought patterns. There are people that may actually need to take a second or two to communicate or, you know, process their thoughts before communicating effectively. So I just want to put that in there because I think there is a lot of bias when hiring, and I don't want to rule out you discrediting good tools because you're looking for a AI deep fake and then coming to me saying, Nate, you told me that this person is fake, right?
I think it's really important to kind of highlight what Nate said, so I'm going to do it again. As of the first week of October in 2025, this is where we stand with spotting it. And I say this because I went to a conference back in May, so we're not too far along back. And there was some AI stuff that was going on, and I was like, that is so ridiculously obvious that it's AI. In this one example, there was no blinking, none. The AI did not blink once. And I was like, well, it was so ridiculously obvious as to the fact that that's not real. You don't even see that. It's only been a couple of months. That's been corrected. That doesn't exist anymore. So just kind of highlighting, this is a moment of time. This is where AI deepfakes are at the moment. Some of the stuff, depending on what you're looking at, I think you'll see varying results. So for example, on social media, as I said, as you're doom scrolling or whatever, some of the things that are fairly obvious, the skin tone tends to be weird, the lighting tends to be odd, you get shiny reflections that don't make sense, people are unnaturally beautiful and have perfect bodies. Those things are fairly obvious when you're looking at it. You're like, that's not real.
No advertising agency would ever pick me.
But those ones are relatively easy to spot as of today. Now, things that still do happen is you'll see weird eye movement. You will see, as Nate mentioned, there'll be some herky jerkiness. I think if you're interacting one, the one that Nate mentioned, the pausing is pretty obvious. To me, it's fairly obvious. The other one that I think is kind of funny is one of the things that AI is starting to do to kind of cover up the strange cadence is it'll put in a every once in a while, and you're like, that doesn't actually fit there. That's bizarre. So those things kind of will be pretty obvious. Again, at the moment, there is some light lip syncing things that happen today. You don't see that quite as much on video just because of the inherent nature where that's off as much. But I think we kind of nailed the vast majority of them. And again, most of this is as of today. I think it's getting better so much quicker. But as Nate mentioned, the one that's really obvious is when you're interacting with it, there is a typical half second, 1 second pause of it's taking that message and saying, how am I going to respond? It's trying to predict anyway, but it has to make sure it's got it the right context before it responds. So there is usually a bit of a delay in it. But again, it's not a perfect solution of, you know, this is always incorrect because someone took a moment to gather their thoughts.
Other telltale signs. I can't find it right now. I was trying to find it while you're talking. And it was some commercial for a drink. I don't know if it was Fanta or whoever. But when you look at the AI actress's hair, it doesn't follow the physics that you would expect, right? Things kind of float and flow just a little too much. And if you look at the physics of that, you're like, yeah, that doesn't look great. We know that when you look at, you know, generated content, things like water doesn't flow well. Hair has historically been a question of, you know, whether or not it's accurate. It's gotten a lot better. But even in the most recent AI advertising, it's how much time and money does that advertising agency want to put in to make it look perfect if they already are delivering the same type of messaging?
Right. Yeah, I'll kind of expand just a little bit too. There are certain things too, and Nate and I are really good at it. Ariel's would be a much tougher person to figure out if it's AI, but Nate and I both have quite a few hand gestures that pop up on video. So AI is not going to map that out very well. So I think those ones are fairly obvious too. But as I mentioned earlier, there is stuff where you can see blurring of and blending of fingers. So another one I saw is somebody had six fingers on their hand, and no, this is not a reference to Princess Bride, but it does happen.
There was an article that came out, and already it's kind of slowly becoming obsolete, but they were talking about when you're interacting with a deepfake, like in an interview, asking them to do something, to like stand up or to move. Or there was an article talking about kind of going back to a little bit more basic technology, like if you're on a phone, sending a code word, or just the same thing as like an MFA with someone. Like, can you say the code that I texted you, you know? So can you talk a little bit about what are some of the steps we can take to make sure we're not falling for these things?
I was trying to find another article here. We can put it in the show notes. There's a article about how a North Korean fake IT worker tried to get hired at Nova 4. So Nova 4 is a phishing and security training platform. You know, many of our customers use it. There was some anomalies that kind of showed up when trying to work with this individual. I don't remember all the specifics because I remember it was from last year. But I would say couple of the items is, how do you monitor output of your employees, right? So let's say, yes, you hired a deep fake, a North Korean, you know, tech workers. It could be anywhere. What type of output are they getting, right?
Interesting, yeah.
You should have some way of measuring employee success. Now, I am vehemently opposed to what I consider spyware of just putting on all your employees' software or your computers and taking screenshots and keyloggers. I think that's wrong. You should have a good way of measuring employee productivity without needing to go down that route. I will call out the safeguards is, you do hire the wrong person. How do you prevent new software from being loaded onto your workstations or devices in the event that you do make a mistake and hire that person, right? This is where tools like the application allow listing are going to come into play and very, very critical. If anyone tries running anything new, are you able to get an alert saying someone's running new malicious software in your environment? Taking a step backwards is, those are all reactionary, right? Now, what do you actually proactively to try and prevent this in the first place? There are various tools that are coming up of, you know, okay, let's run a extended social security trace, you know, taking a look to see, does this person have a history of predictable employment history, right? Is, I see they grabbed a couple of, we're based out of Minnesota here. So have they worked at several Minnesota-based jobs, or are they kind of a global nomad picking jobs wherever they may be? It's not a disqualifier, maybe a red or a yellow flag to consider. What about some type of background check? Does it come back with much history or not, right? Not employment records, but, you know, residence records, you know, do they kind of follow a standard pattern of where they've lived, or are they just popping again all over the world? And maybe those don't always align with the employment history. So if you're a technical recruiter or an HR individual, you've got more work to do, I'm sorry. And now you are playing into a little bit of this anomaly detection. There are tools out there, I'm not partnering with any of them, you know, for this podcast or anything, that do partner in with your HR background check software to provide the additional validation. And even on calls, maybe like a Teams call or a Zoom call, that can identify when there is some type of anomaly and on the fly, on the side, say, suspected deepfake, maybe either stop the call or, to Ariel, your point, hey, can you stand up for a second? Right? You know, and provide that additional challenge.
Yeah, all excellent things. I think the interacting in a video is very specific. I mean, there are other things that I think are worthy. So if you're doing, this is just general stuff, right? If you're getting AI content, you'll often see the hyphen in the middle of words. You're like, people don't hyphen like that. AI does. So there's things like that too. But I think the video example of doing something unusual, some unusual motion is a great first thing. The other really good one I would have is stay skeptical just in general. It does make sense. One of the other things that I would typically keep front of mind is the interview is also very specific, but historically, I would say AI, a deep fake in particular, it's a method of social engineering. So what you're going to see with it is the same thing that you almost always see, which is there's going to be a sense of urgency. There's always going to get you to try and do something. And so all the things that we've preached in the past when it comes to social engineering, you still need to be aware of. Doesn't matter that it's a video now. It's just, you know, why am I feeling this pressure? Why is this getting amped up? What's going on? And use the typical methods you'd have to kind of de-escalate the situation. I mean, ultimately, your typical good security things need to still stay in place. So, you know, if someone's trying to get money from you or get login information, if it was somebody trying to interact with you, like they're the IT department, making sure you've got multi-factor authentications in it, and all those things all still make sense. They're all super urgent things that you need to be doing. So don't take your eye off the ball just because you got a video interface with somebody.
Want to make sure you both get a chance to share anything that you'd like. But earlier in the podcast, we referenced using fake, or I would say generative AI, in this case, more ethically for marketers or creators or, you know, businesses that do want to use these tools in a professional and ethical way. So what are some rules of thumb you would share if a business wants to use this technology?
Well, I'm going to start with like the ethical guidelines, the guide rails, if you will. Hypothetically, it doesn't matter if it's an internal person, and I'll just say, like Nate did, I'll use myself. If you were going to use an AI avatar of myself, you need to make sure that the consent is there, that I absolutely agree that it's okay that you can use the likeness in this manner. You want to make sure you're not misleading or harming the individual or wherever you're going with it. You probably should disclose that this is synthetic media. So those just are kind of general guide rails of you should probably at least start here. But when it comes to examples, I think the best one that I have that I go, that makes a ton of sense, would be marketing. So for example, in a situation like this, where we would say, this is very expensive for us to have myself and Nate on a podcast, and we want to limit that expense, and or Nate and Todd are super busy, or Nate and Todd went on a cruise in the Caribbean for a security event. Any of those reasons would be good reasons to have an AI avatar to come in and help out with the podcast. You know, another one that pops in my head is similar, right? It would be like a training situation where it's front of the classroom. Let me get a quick video in. That would be another good example for me.
I've been trying for 2 years to get Todd on that security cruise. So I think that's an implication for next year we're going. So come February or so, if you see Ariel Mark, this is a synthetic video, you know, Todd and I are working hard on a cruise. I'll touch on some of the laws. So no surprise, laws lag behind tech. The last time I checked, again, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't regularly stay on top of the most latest laws. But the last time I had checked, which I believe was back in May, it was not illegal to use deepfake technology. Now, you know, where it comes in to Todd's point is the things like libel and, you know, that type of stuff. It is illegal, and they do call it out, to use deepfake technology to influence election campaigns and results. So the laws have already caught up to that part of it. So, but yeah, in general, there are ethical guidelines that we should all adhere to. Technically, you can do most of whatever you want, right? So to your point and, you know, where you would want to use this, internal resources would be a great use of this. So how much time does it take to provide internal training to your employees? That's also very expensive. We know that the cost to onboard a new employee is approximately 1.5 times their salary, right? There's plenty of studies out there that you can go look at. And so, and the reason why is you have that initial employee and you have to take, you know, their mentor, trainer, and go run them through that entire training to bring them up to speed, lost efficiencies. What if you could take your written content that you've already generated, and I'll pick on AI a little bit, is a Copilot, Gemini, whatever platform you're using, go generate a basic call script and how to interact with our customers, right? Now you can take that, run it into another technology that does video generation and say, turn this into a training for new employees, right? I want you to be personable. I want you to, you know, connect with them, make them feel welcome, right? Now you've essentially have a onboarding trainer that's AI driven or deep fake driven. You don't have to go pay for an employee to sit there and record those videos either. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter whether or not you have it or not. That's just a nice small touch to make an employee feel a little bit more welcome rather than just handing them a big document and say, read the 72 pages that we wrote up for you, right? So little touches like that can go a long way.
I mean, AI is amazing. We love it. It can do amazing things. As we close out here, the thing that's on my mind is, do you think there will come the bell curve and kind of the other side of this where are almost capitalizing on not using AI? You know, is there going to come a point where low tech is going to be popular?
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead, Nate.
Yeah. Sorry. I want to reference back an old podcast. I don't have the exact one. I'm subscribed to CIT's YouTube and it comes across, you know, as Ariel Blasso, so all of our podcasts. But there was one about AI and tech. So I want to call out for CIT, right? To summarize, Kyle said, technology and automation go hand in hand, right? Or AI and, you know, automation go hand in hand. But at the end of the day, our customers expect a human response to be able to get the context, get the awareness, hear your frustrations with tech, right? That's why we're here to help solve the business problems and get tech out of your way to be able to assist with that. Now, if you have to talk to an AI that's missing all that rich context, that's not going to help you. So there is value of still driving the human touch to things. The value of AI and some of these deepfakes and, you know, that type of stuff, again, kind of like the training documentation that I called out, is help use that to automate the efficiencies to things that don't really matter, right? But the things that are critical to the business or critical to how people interact with you always have the human touch.
Yeah, my answer would be, I think it's inevitable that there will be something that comes in and it's, you know, kind of like the, this is probably a terrible analogy, but the first one that came to mind is Made in America, right? Or organic food might be another one where there was kind of this call of going back to this natural way of doing things. The actress that I mentioned earlier would be another one where you'll want to say, you know, this video was made with only humans only, those kinds of things. It seems inevitable that, yeah, you will definitely see some push that says, I want it to be a human that I'm interacting with. You know, there will be somebody, like, if you're using AI as a potential thing where you could potentially do this, or you can use it for taking phone calls, right? You don't like talking to the computer and people are yelling on the phone, representative. You may find somebody going, I will not do business with somebody where I have to talk with an AI voice to get to a real person. That I think that would absolutely happen.
For sure. So
I think one of the other things is AI, right? It's always so validating back to you because it wants to keep you engaged, right? There's a full OpenAI lawsuit about this right now. It's always making you feel good to try and keep you on the platform. I'll pick on tech and, you know, on the help desk side of things, as well as sometimes when you call in for support, you don't want to hear the tech go, how are you? You're having a great day, right? You just want them to go, I understand. Yeah, something's messed up. Let's just knock it out, right? I don't know if the AI is going to get to that point and just be real with you, but that's where I think that human touch is, again, really important. We're not trying to validate every emotion. We're just trying to touch on it, help you out, reduce the frustration, but ultimately solve the issue so you don't have to deal with it again.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a great place to kind of end that highlight between balancing the human element and all of these new amazing AI tools. So thank you both for joining us this week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.